Welcome, welcome everybody to another episode of Brain Turds. I'm Monkey Arms.
And I'm T-Rex.
And T-Rex, we messed up our intro. So the listeners are getting a rare peek behind the curtain, and we're doing it differently. How are you, man?
I said we kind of came out of this one hot out of the gate on that, didn't we? I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We took, what, maybe like 2 weeks off or whatever? And I guess we were just so damn excited to get into the episode that we just started doing the episode with no record.
Well, I guess that's what you get when you have a couple of brain turds.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about open debate, open communication, and our communication goes a little bit everywhere as per brain turd style. But I think you guys will like it. I think you'll enjoy.
We'll go off on a couple of little rants, and I think people ought to enjoy this one.
Yeah, it's about as good of an episode as all of our episodes, so don't have high expectations. All right, guys, to the show. Debating was pointless. I used to think that the whole process of a debate was a waste of time because all that happens is either side just gets even more set in their own opinions because all they're trying to do is convince the other person, the other party, you could say,
yeah,
not to make it political, they're just trying to convince the other side why they're right.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. That's not how a debate is supposed to work. You're supposed to explain your side of the situation and then actively listen to the other person's side of the story and draw from each side. Be open to growth. Be open to learning from that other person. And honestly, I don't think that there is a single, personal opinion here, I don't think that there is a single debate to be had that both sides cannot come away with at least one nugget of knowledge from the other person's perspective.
See, and that's where I agree with you on that, with the debate thing. And then when you talk about, you know, how you didn't think debates were good because the people would basically dig their heels in and be like, no, my side's right, this is why. See, that's no longer a debate. That just becomes an argument. I mean,
which is what most debates turn into, because when you watch on television, especially any kind of televised debate, a lot of people, it becomes an argument and it's a waste of time. You have to go into it with respect for the other side, for one thing. That's key. You have to have respect for the other side. Understand that they're coming at you at a side of respect and compassion and want what's best for your side too. They want you to understand that, hey, I've got good ideas. Hey, I've got this view on things. Let me hear yours. Let me give you mine, and let's draw a positive from it.
Well, and that's what one of those things where, like, I've come up to it with people that I work with or other people where, you know, because we've talked about it before. I'm a big Second Amendment fan. I'm huge. I don't know anybody that's more Second Amendment friendly than I am, but I also understand from the other side that there are views that, like, look, you got to have some common sense. You can't just go, well, everybody gets a bazooka, and, you know, you can't just, you know, so I've had these debates with other people and they bring up the whole like full automatic stuff. And I'll go, to me, that's where the debate should start, the full automatic or not being able to have a full automatic. That's where you should have the debate. Or can certain people, you know, maybe go take tests or whatever so that they can have a full automatic. I'm not saying that anybody needs one. My point is, some people like to have them. It's no different than, to me, it's no different than having a really fast car or motorcycle. You don't need to be able to go 200 mile an hour, but, you know, sometimes it's kind of fun to have that kind of power.
Well, and you and I, this is a topic that you and I disagree on, and I love it because you and I agree on so fucking much.
Oh, yeah.
We really do. We agree on a lot. And so when you and I disagree on something, I actually love that because I want to know, what is he getting at? What is he seeing? What does he know that I don't? You know, it's one of those things. And so when you and I started talking about that, it's very interesting because you are a fairly liberal person, would you say?
Yeah, socially. I'm fairly socially liberal. I'm pretty conservative, sure, when it comes to money. But yeah, socially, I'm pretty liberal.
Sure. And I am a fairly liberal person.
Yeah, which is why I think we see eye to eye so much on a lot of topics, though.
Probably. I won't disagree with that. But that's what's so interesting is our stance on this particular topic, because I don't believe that you need all that. I don't believe you need all these guns. I don't see the point in it is my side of it. Yet you, us being so similar, you disagree with that. And you, like you said, it's like having a fast car. It's just fun to have. You think you should have the right to have it, whatever. Our stance is just so different on it. But we never fight about it. I see your side of it. You brought me around to your side of it. Like, if you want this toy and you're using it as like a toy, you just target shooting or whatever, and you're using it responsible, why can't you have it? And then my argument was, well, that's great, but that's not the only people that are going to get it.
Right. And that's where I start coming around on the whole, you know, on the full automatic thing. Maybe there should be some kind of a special license. Or maybe with that special license, you have to take some kind of a test to, you know, maybe even a psychology test.
You have to take a test and have a special license or permit or whatever to drive a jet ski up here. So I hope to God you have to have something to have a semi-automatic weapon.
Right. And that's what I've tried to tell people before. Like if you want to be a semi-truck driver, look at all the stuff you got to get a special license and the tests and all that. So maybe why don't we look at it like that? Like if you want to own a full automatic weapon, then maybe you should have to go through and have some tests, you know, prove that you know how to handle the gun, maybe take a psychology test or a psychological test where, you know, you can prove maybe, I mean, some people obviously can slide through the cracks, but maybe you can prove that you're not a psycho.
It should be a little bit more difficult to get one than it is now. And that's where you changed my mind a little bit, because I was fairly hard set in the mindset that no, people don't need it. People shouldn't have it. And you're like, well, I think people should have it if they want it, if there's specific guidelines to get it. And I'm like, okay, I can agree with that.
But also remember, we talked about this that one day. You called me at night and the shit was hitting the fan there and where you live with the protests. And what'd you tell me? You told me you were glad you didn't get rid of that shotgun.
Right. Just strictly for the extremely rare chance that my house all of a sudden got looted or something. It was nice to have that sense of security. And again, that's part of this whole conversation we've been having here for the past few minutes, is being open to debate, being open to conversation and seeing the other person's side.
Right.
And again, that's something that is one of the very few things you and I disagree on, but I have come a long way on it. And see your side of it. And like I said, that situation when I was put in a situation where I felt comforted to have some way to have security with my family, it really hit home. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm not typically a black and white person. I'm a very gray area person. But for some reason on some topics, we only see one side of it.
Well, and you've kind of brought me back to like thinking a little more clearly, I'd say with the full automatic stuff, where it's like, you know, and then you start looking around, you see these, like the Vegas shooting or something like that. Maybe you're right. Maybe stricter gun law for something like that. But I don't, again, when it comes to other kinds of handguns and an AR-15 or, you know, maybe we should have some laws, not just go out and, hey, buy whatever you want. But I think that's where that's where we kind of have to have that debate, and not just me and you, but in the entire country, there has to be some kind of a debate there. And I get it, not just background checks or whatever, but you know, that's when I kind of defer to people like, hey, you people are smarter than me. Why can't you come up with a solution that works for the majority of everybody? I mean, you can never get it a blanket thing that's going to save everybody. Keep all the nuts from being able to get the guns. But, you know, maybe you can stop one or two people and that's going to be enough to stop 30, 40, 50 lives from being exterminated.
Well, and that's the thing is I don't have an answer for how it works. I know the result that I want. You know, we've talked about that, but I don't have the answer of how to make it work. And that's part of the problem is how do you make anything work across an entire country, especially across an entire country like America? We get so set in our ideas and our rights, which I told you before, I don't like calling them rights. They're not rights. They are privileges. But we get so set in, this is my right. This is my freedom. This is my whatever. And it's like, how do we expect to make progress when all we're consumed with is me? All we're consumed with is me getting my piece of the pie, me having what's best for what I want. And that's where debate breaks down among an entire country. Doesn't matter what side, that's where it breaks down. And so then you ask yourself, how do we make any change? How do we do anything, with gun laws, with coronavirus, with the maskers and the anti-maskers, with this information is correct, no, that's fake news, that's lies, this information is correct, no, that's fake news and that's lies, because that doesn't go with what I agree with. Like, there's so much divisiveness in our country. How do you make any change? I have no answers.
See, and that's kind of one of those things where, like, I can put the guns and the coronavirus in kind of the same context, where, like, look, okay, I get, like, when you live in a big city like you do, I get where your rules, your laws should be probably tweaked, maybe a little different than where I live, because I live out in the middle of nowhere. So am I going to go out here and piddle around on my acres of land and have to wear a mask while I'm out there, or go out and be able to shoot any kind of gun I want? I'm in the middle of nowhere. No, I'm not going to be able to harm anybody, but there's nothing stopping me from going to the big city and spreading shit either. So that's where you got to, like you said, again, you got to kind of have that debate where it's like, okay, you can't just have free reign with this shit. You do have to have some personal responsibilities.
I think we're very much stuck in a mindset as a people, as a whole, of I'm right. My opinion's the only opinion. Why can't everybody else see things the way I see it? And that's how we get into trouble.
If you want to go back, I mean, I don't remember what year, but I'm going to say it was in probably the early 90s. It's kind of crazy, but there, I don't even know if you know who Tupac Shakur was.
Yeah, Mark.
Hey.
I do.
Believe me, I've ran into people that don't know who he was. And we are a 20-year gap, okay? We are. You got to remember that. He said it back then. He was talking about Donald Trump, and he brought him up, and he said, this is a guy that is give me, give me, give me. I mean, we're talking about a guy that knew about this back in the 90s, and now we've elected him. He's become our president, and he hasn't changed a lick. This is the same guy. He's still me, give me, give me, give me.
And what I just say, that's when we get into trouble.
Right.
When we're so self-absorbed, when we're so worried about what's happening to us. You know, we have to... In my mind, you're probably not going to completely agree with this because of again, our different views on this particular subject. You'll know what I'm talking about here in just a second.
Okay.
But I saw a line, and it hit home with me. I read a lot. I'm a huge Stephen King fan. You know this. But my grandma actually told me growing up, and it's something that stuck with me. She said, most people can't imagine anything bad happening to them, be it a death in the family, breaking an arm, getting in a car accident, anything. Nobody can imagine bad things happening to them. And I think for the most part, people can't imagine it, especially if they're lucky enough to have never have dealt with any negative things like that to that severity in their lives. And I was reading Stephen King's Duma Key over the past 2 weeks, and it's a great book. And he has a line in there where he says, God punishes us for the things that we can't imagine. Now, you see where I say he'll disagree with me on one part of that, which is fine. This is just a line he said, but it made me remember what my grandma said to me. And call it superstition or not, part of me believes that. Part of me believes that in some way we get punished for the things we can't imagine happening to us. And I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of bad things happen in my life and a tremendous amount of good things. But I have seen a lot of horrible things in my short time. I'm very, very aware of the bad things that can happen to me and to my family. And I think that's why I'm so concerned, especially with this pandemic and my wife being a nurse and seeing some of the shit that she goes through and the things on the news. And that's why I get so concerned when people are like, I'm not afraid of this virus. I'm not afraid of whatever. I don't need to wear a mask. My wife made a good point. She said, I look at wearing a mask as drinking and driving. I don't care what you do with your life, but once you get in a car drunk, then you're putting me at risk. It's the same thing with a mask to a certain degree. If you're going out without a mask and you happen to be an asymptomatic person, you're not putting yourself at risk, you're putting me at risk. The mask doesn't help anybody else but me. It doesn't help you, it helps me. And I'm wearing one to help you. So it's like, yeah, you don't have to wear a mask when you're on your tractor, Mark. But when you go to Walmart, put on a mask, man, because bad shit can happen to us. That right. was a very long way of a very long-winded way of saying bad shit can happen to us, and I'm aware of that.
No, but I understand it. And yeah, I kind of, you know, I don't agree with the whole God thing. We've been through that before. But
sure.
I kind of agree with the whole short-sightedness where it's like, I am only going to think about myself. And this is where I get frustrated with these people out there that are talking about, we have to send these kids back to school. Because, you know, with my wife being a teacher, now this sounds harsh, but I don't care if your kid gets sick. I'm more worried about my wife. Now, not to say that I want your kid to get sick, but if I have to choose, it's your kid or my wife. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, there's so
let me clear this up for all of our listeners. Mark is not being an asshole.
Well,
Mark is just being brutally honest. We would all pick our own kin. That's what he's trying to say.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it does come off as being an extreme asshole, and I get it. But like I said, if you're going to make me pick, I'm sorry. Your kid's sure. got to go, man. I love my wife. That's the person that we're going to, you know, till death do we do us part. And I don't want that shit to come sooner than it has to.
Sure. Sure. Well, let me point out, like, as of today, the United States of America has 3,736,550 confirmed cases and over 137,202 deaths. We are the worst country in the world at handling the virus. We are the worst. So people, please understand, bad shit can happen to you. So put on a mask, even if you're not concerned about yourself, be concerned about your fellow human. That's what I don't get. How are you not concerned about your fellow human being? Like, you're talking about these kids going back to school. All it takes is one asymptomatic or symptomatic, whichever, one positive kid in that classroom, and your wife's life, as well as every other kid's life, is at risk. Because yeah, you may have 10 people get coronavirus and only one of them may die from it, or none of them may die, or all of them may die. That's the thing about coronavirus, is we still don't know a whole lot about it. How fresh is this goddamn thing? Pretty fucking fresh.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't get, right? Everybody's like, well, they said this in the beginning and now they changed it or whatever, this and that with the mask, whatever. And it's like, the science isn't completely out on this yet. We don't know everything about this. And I hate to say it, but people are washing their hands of this because they're like, oh, I've had enough of this. We've had to deal with this for a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is. And you go, well, wait a minute. Our president sat on his ass and didn't do shit with this about this virus for the first 2 months of this. So we're 2 months behind everything. So I hate to tell people this, but yeah, it's probably going to last longer here than anywhere else because our president didn't do dick. He can say that he closed the borders to China, but the fact is we still let in over 40,000 people from China to come into the United States. Were they United States citizens? Yeah. Did we test them? Did we quarantine them? No. Did we have people flying from China to Europe and into the United States? Yes. And how long did it take him to ban the flights from Europe? I mean, he's talking about, well, we have one case, now it's 15, soon be down to zero, it'll go away in April when it gets hot. Okay, I'll stop there because my rant's starting to go on about him and he just irritates me, makes my blood pressure go up.
No, I'm recording up here in a different room today because it was very cold in my pod area, yeah, in the basement where I usually do the podcast. So I'm upstairs now and I'm just looking at this painting that I have on the wall, listening to you speak, and I'm like, fuck, he's speaking the truth right now.
Dude,
like,
it just...
No, that was good, man. That's good. That's good.
It just irritates me, man. Just irritates me.
Well, I think that's part of the problem that we're having right now, too, is because 2020 is just one hell of a year, man. It is unlike any year any one of us has ever experienced, and hopefully we don't experience another one quite like this again. Not to say that there's not many years ahead for all of us. I just mean, let's not have a year like this. I want to be clear. I'm not jinxing shit in 2020, man.
Jesus. Yeah, we still got 6 months to go, bud.
Right. I think part of the problem is, too, though, that think about it. A lot of us are still on lockdown. And those of us who are taking this fairly seriously are not seeing friends and family right now. Everything's virtual. Everything is telemedicine. Everything is Skype and phone calls and video messaging and all this stuff now. Everything's virtual. So what are a lot of us doing? A lot of us are talking to our small niche group of people. A lot of us are getting our news and media from our small niche little area of media. And a lot of us are not exposed to healthy debates and conversations with the other side. And some of us who are exposed to those other side conversations are not willing to change our views to see the other side. That's the whole point of this episode right now, is open communication and debate. I think quarantine and lockdown is forcing people to get even more stuck in their own views and end up coming to the same result that we've been talking about, where they just want to wash their hands of coronavirus and be done with it because they're sick of it and the information keeps changing and nobody can get their ducks in a row. And why isn't this solved yet? And maybe it's not as bad as everybody's saying, because there's a lot of people that haven't seen it affect somebody in their family, God forbid, or their friends or something. And there's no way to explain to everybody that just because it's not happening in your family does not mean it's not happening. And I know that we all want to get on with our lives, and I know that we all want normalcy again, and we're all afraid that that's not going to happen, and we all want to rush back to doing normal things right now. But look, we got to pay a small price this year. We got to pay the price of taking a step back, of being socially distant, of having more alone time and downtime and quiet time and not being stimulated with all these things and bars and movies and all that that we're used to doing, so we can get a handle on this virus and then go back to normal life. But we got to pay that price now. And the more we keep dicking around with saying we're fed up with it, I'm just going to do what I want, the longer we're going to stretch this shit out. And you can try to explain that to people till you're blue in the face, but if you're not open to a healthy debate and learning from the person speaking, we get nowhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like anything else to me anyway. I look at it like with this virus, it's like, you know, trying to think of an analogy, but like,
don't hurt yourself. Analogies aren't your forte.
That's true. That is true. I mean, let's say, you know, you're running 300 miles and you've got a little twinge in your knee, but you don't slow down. You start doing two-a-days, and next thing you know, you've got a lump on your Achilles, and you're afraid you're going to tear that.
This is feeling oddly specific, you dickhead. What are you trying to say?
I'm fucking with you. But again, if you don't take care of the problem right away, it's going to get worse, is basically what I'm kind of, yeah, I was kind of throwing a little shade towards you.
I retract my statement about you sucking at analogies. That was really fucking good. Oddly specific. Yeah. No, I mean, you're right, though. You're right.
I figured you'd be able to relate to that one.
Just a little. Jesus Christ. Well, I do want to touch on two things real quick before we wrap up an episode, because it doesn't need to be specifically about coronavirus. But one, when it comes to the NFL, how have we not talked about the fact that we're going to have a major change this next season? We're basically getting a whole brand new team. The Washington Redskins are no longer the Washington Redskins. We're going to get a brand new name team. That's actually kind of exciting. I'm really pumped about that.
I've had this conversation with a couple other people, and it's one of those things where I kind of hate, because of the nostalgia behind it, I kind of hate to see it leave. Because I'm 47. It's always been the Washington Redskins. It has been for damn near 90 years. And I get it. Maybe it is a time for change. In a way, I'm kind of excited to see what they come up with. But I am going to miss calling them the Redskins. It's going to take me a little while, because you got to remember, I still call the San Diego Chargers the San Diego Chargers. And they're in, what, fucking L.A. now. So
I still do the same thing with the Rams. I still call them the St. Louis Rams. You know, there's going to be some slip-ups. And I'm sure watching Sunday night football, Monday night football, or whatever with Washington, it's going to be interesting because I'm sure the commentators are going to have some slip ups. But you said you're interested to see what they're going to come up with. I've got a couple names that I saw that they were tossing around. Now, they're supposed to, the way I gather, announce the new name Monday, which will be when this episode comes out. So we are recording on Sunday. We do not know what the name is yet. So if the name is already out and then you're listening to this podcast, that is why. But what they are tossing around, and let me know what you think. I'm going to read them off. One of them is the Washington Red Tails.
Okay, I get it.
Another is the Washington Warriors. Another one is the Washington Hogs or Washington Red Hogs, or then possibly the Washington Red Hawks, which I think sounds better.
See, I heard one of them was maybe the Red Wolves.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say, and then the last one would be the Washington Red Wolves. So... right now, the clear favorite is the Red Wolves, followed by the Red Tails, and then the Warriors. So it's going to be interesting. I'm really excited to see what they're going to come out with.
Now, see, I kind of like the Red Tails. I kind of like that because that goes back to the World War II and the African-American pilots. That's kind of cool, going back to that, bringing that kind of a history with them. But there's one that I think they should at least think about, and it's because it will still represent the Native American heritage, which is, I like the idea of maybe calling them the Washington Wind Talkers, because they were the Navajo Nation that helped us have a code that the Japanese couldn't break, so that it basically helped us win World War II.
Interesting. Yeah, I actually, even in some of these like honorable mentions, I have not seen that name listed. It sounds like an odd name, I will say, until you explain the history behind it.
Right.
But yeah, either way, I think it's going to be interesting. Again, there's a lot of bad that has come with 2020, but there's a lot of good. And I think this is definitely a year of change. And this is a year of history like we haven't seen in forever.
Here's something, though, that I'm worried about. Okay, when it comes to this, the pressure and changing it for Washington and everything, I'm hoping that they don't take this too far where they want to try to now attack every team that has something to do with the Native Americans. Like, my brother's favorite college football team is the Florida State Seminoles. And that doesn't need to be changed because the Seminole Nation likes to have that representation. So
before people go off
they go off the deep end and say, hey, no, let's get rid of that. Let's stop and think about things before we start just chanting, we got to get rid of that team.
Right. Well, that's mostly the logo also rather than it is the name. Whereas Washington Redskins, I can definitely see where that's racist.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of those things where it's like I said, it's been that way for almost 90 years and it's going to take some getting used to, but I also understand the idea behind changing it.
Right. I mean, I'm all on board with it. Honestly, I really am. I'm all on board for a new change on that. I never thought of it as racist until, honestly, it was spoke about that it was racist. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I could kind of see that. But maybe that's ignorance on my part. You know, I'm not going to deny that.
No, I was going to say, that's one thing. That's one big thing that we don't look at it from a racist point of view. First of all, we don't think of things as racist. I shouldn't say we don't think of things as racist. We don't know their side. So we can't think like they do. If they think it's racist, it needs to go.
Right. Our opinion on that doesn't matter, in my opinion. Yeah. That was confusing.
That was kind of a long way around to get to that, but yeah. I couldn't quite get my whole thought out. Yeah, I had it in my head, but I couldn't like get the words.
Yeah, story of your life, Mark.
Maybe I should have brought up another analogy.
Stop with your analogies. I can't take another attack. But no, this has been an episode about debate. You know, be open to communication. If the communication is flowing, then we can fix problems. That's right. The big thing, but we got to be open to communication. I don't know how you solve that problem of lack of communication, understanding. I don't know, but I hope this episode resonates with a few people and they go out into their next conversation virtually, of course, and they go into it with an open mind and an open ear. Yeah. Don't just wait for your turn to speak. Listen to the person speaking. That's my point. Right. Any last words for you for wrapping it up?
No, just like you said, let's try to keep an open mind, open communications. That'd be great.
Yeah. You can leave a debate and be friends.
Right.
Try that. I want to thank everybody for listening. You can follow us on brainturds.podomatic.com. We are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We are on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Player FM, Podcast Addict. And we are on Twitter, and we encourage you to follow us. We don't have many followers, but we would love to have you follow us. We are at TurdsBrain.
That's too- I was just going to say, did you mention Podcast Addict yet?
I did. Would you like me to finish?
Oh, my bad. Go ahead. Yeah. I just didn't hear it. I had a little crackle in my ear.
So originally, Mark found it annoying that I always repeated this, but now I'm realizing he likes the little bit of light shined onto him.
Yeah.
So I guess this is our new thing now. Follow us on Podcast Addict. Download the app. It's a super easy app to use. It's the app Mark uses. If Mark can use it, you can use it. Was that, do you like that?
I do. I like that.
Feel better now?
That was actually pretty classic.
I tried. I really tried. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Take it easy.